Okay, before we start, I want to mention that the shiur will give Le'ilui Nishmas, Rav Rafael Ben Yisrael, Rabbi Rafael Green, who was the original Rosh Kollel by us, and the whole Kollel was started around him. And especially this year, he was Nifter on Yom Kippur, and Yortzeit is obviously coming up very soon. And this year especially, I want to express a Hakoras HaTov to this family for giving us the Zotra Sfarim, a good portion of it, of the Sfarim that we have here, including the bookcases, are from him. And that's a tremendous plus for the Beis Medrash, for the Shul, the Yeshiva. I also want to thank the Nordens for being the Achsanya of this year throughout the year, and providing refreshments and a nice homey atmosphere. And Mirza Hashem, their home should be a place of mitzvahs and Torah and simchas for many, many years.
Amen.
Okay. This year is regularly a halacha shir and a hashkofa shir. And tonight is not going to be any different, but we're going to combine them together into one thing. And what I thought the best thing to speak about is tshuva. Because Yom Kippur, Chazal say, the Rambam says, is Kate Slicho Mechila. It's the deadline for tshuva for the year. I hate to use that word with respect to Yom Kippur, but in any case, I couldn't think of a better one. It's the boundary, the limit for tshuva for the year. And the Shari Tshuva says there's a mitzvah min haTorah la'or es libo l'tshuva v'yom haKippurim. Person has a mitzvah to arouse himself to do tshuva on Yom Kippur, and that is not only a chiyuv, but it's also a tremendous opportunity. And the Shari Tshuva says it's one of the reasons there's a mitzvah to eat erev Yom Kippur. That normally, if we fulfill a mitzvah, you have a Sudas Mitzvah to celebrate the mitzvah that you're fulfilling. You have a bris, you have a Sudas Mitzvah to celebrate the bris. Right? Whatever mitzvah you do, you make a Suda to celebrate it. So really, we should have a Suda on Yom Kippur to celebrate the mitzvah of tshuva. Except we can't do that because you have to fast. So the Torah made the Suda of Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, to celebrate the fact that we're being able to fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva on Yom Kippur. So therefore, I thought it would be a good idea, even though we've done this many times, but Yom Kippur comes, the same Yom Kippur every year, with the same tefillahs or whatever, and since there's a mitzvah to be nisorer to tshuva, so it's a good idea to know what the mitzvah is, and what tshuva is, and how you mekayim it, and what things could arouse you to those halachas that make what tshuva is composed of. So speak first about the Shlovei HaTshuva. If there's time, I want to speak a little bit about the Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim, since now in Slichas and in Yom Kippur we're going to say them over and over and over again. It's a good idea to know, we're not going to have time to explain them. You can look in the Tomar Devora, and there he speaks about what each of those midos is and how it impacts on how you're supposed to act and be like Hashem. There it's easy. It's look into the Tomer Dvora, and he goes by each midah and explains them the right way in there in the first parak. And but to speak a little bit about what the importance of the Yud Gimel, how it works, and what it's supposed to do. Why do we say it over and over and over again? We'll see. This time we'll do that. Let's start with tshuva. Okay, the first shlav of tshuva, which is perhaps the most important to begin with, is hakoras hachet, to recognize that you've done something wrong. Because if you don't recognize you've done something wrong, there is no way in the world you can do tshuva. So the hakdama to tshuva is hakoras hachet. Now, what does that mean, hakoras hachet? So one idea is that in order to really recognize that you've done something wrong, you have to learn. Right, the Gemara says that if a person sees Yisurim coming on him, so Yafashbesh b'maisav, Yamashmesh b'maisav, check and see if he's done things wrong that would result in these Yisurim. Pish Beish Velo Matzah, if he looked and he didn't find anything that he's done wrong that could have caused these Yisurim, then Yitlein Bebitl Torah. Then he should attribute it to the fact that he hasn't learned Torah enough, that he's Mevatel time from Torah. So the obvious question is, right, Bitl Torah is one of the biggest Averas there is. How could you have checked everything and not find any Averas if you have Bitl Torah? Then you found the Bitl Torah. So some say what it means is the following. If you've checked all your deeds and didn't find that you've done anything wrong, it's not because you haven't done anything wrong, because you don't know what's wrong. So Yitlein, not the Yisurim, but Yitlein, you should attribute the fact that you didn't find any Averas to Bitl Torah, you haven't learned enough Torah. So the first Shlav in Hakara Sachet is learn. If you don't learn, you won't realize, first of all, what's right and what's wrong. And even what's wrong, you won't realize how serious it is or whatever, and it won't give you the incentive to do tshuva. So the more you learn, the more a person learns, the more he's going to do tshuva. As the Shari Tshuva says, lo yimtza ichor ha-tshuva ela ba'amei ha'aretz. People who don't know, so they're not in, they have no incentive to do tshuva. The more a person knows, the more incentive he has, at least, to know that it's important to do tshuva and what to do tshuva on. Second thing is, even if a person learns and he knows specifically what the averas are, but you can always fool yourself and because of your negius, turn the avera into something that's not really so bad, or even to a mitzvah because of your negius. And just the opposite, kiven shavar adam avera v'shana ba nasus lo keheter. Person does an avera twice, already it becomes something he's used to. Comes like a heter. People have excuses, they have justifications, and they never really own up to the fact that they've done something wrong. This one made me do it, and this is my excuse, and that's my teretz, and so part of hakara sachet is recognizing the fact that you really have done something wrong without trying to justify it, explain it away or whatever. And I always like to say that's the pshat, that the minimal vidui on Yom Kippur, the Rambam says, is three words: avol anachnu chatanu. So the avol really means be'emes, right? Avol Hashemim anachnu means be'emes. So avol doesn't necessarily mean but it means in truth, verily. But I think that it also can mean kipshuto. Avol anachnu chatanu. The whole year we say those same words in a different order. Anachnu chatanu aval. Right? And after the but, we have this reason and that reason and this excuse and the other excuse. And after you finish with all the avals, there's no more chet. On Yom Kippur, you have to come, and after the aval, right, there's no more ifs, ands, and buts. Anachnu chatanu. With all the avals, with all of the explanations and excuses, you still remain with anachnu chatanu. So that is the first stage of tshuva, hakara sachet, which involves learning and involves being honest with yourself and taking away your negius. Next shlav of tshuva is one of two things. Depends, the Shari Tshuva says, on the type of chet. If it's a chet that is out of character for you, you've done it once, you did something unusual, right? You got really hungry, you were in, you know, some place where there wasn't things with good hechsherim, and your mamash ate something treif. Not something you do all the time, it's not something that you're used to doing, it's just something that you were weak and you gave into your yetzahara. So there, the next shlav is charata. Immediately after doing the chet and satisfying your taiva, you're going to regret it, because it's not something you usually do, and the regret's going to come. And from the regret, you'll resolve to stop doing it. Right? You won't buy that second sandwich. You won't order dessert or whatever. You have charata, and then comes aziva sachet. However, the Shari Tshuva says, there are averas that a person has become accustomed to do. He does them all the time. Right? Not because he's a mummer, because he's just not careful. Things that people speak Lashon Hara or other kinds of chatoyim that people do without thinking too much. And since kiven shaover adam avera v'shama ba nasas lo keheter, since the mice are getting into the habit of doing an avera takes away the chumra of the avera, so it's impossible in those averas to have harata and regret doing them before you stop doing them. Because then the opposite happens. The more you get out of the conditioning, right, in out of the habit of doing the Aveira, the more you feel that something's wrong with it. Right? A person who's a chain smoker can't regret smoking. But if you stop smoking, then later on, eventually, you can look back and regret ever smoking. But once in the middle of the habit, it's very hard to regret something that to you is habit. It's natural. It's a regular behavior. So in those Averas, the Shari Tshuva says, first has to come Aziva Sachet, and then Harata. The only problem is, if you don't regret doing the sin, why would you want to stop? So I always like to give the example of the chain smoker. Guy loves smoking, right? Doesn't regret smoking, he loves smoking. Goes to the doctor for a checkup, he's got a cough. The doctor tells him, you have emphysema. If you continue smoking in the next 6 months, you'll be dead. So I suggest that you stop smoking. Because in 6 months, either way, you're going to have to stop smoking, either because you're no longer here or because you decided to stop smoking. So it's much better to stop smoking and be alive than stop smoking because you can't smoke because you're dead. It just makes sense. The guy doesn't regret smoking, right? He loves smoking. He'd love to continue smoking. He has no choice. So certain things, right, make it clear to a person that you have no choice, that you have to... That you have to stop. One of those things is Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. A person who's a maimin believes that his year is going to be decided on how much tshuva he does on Yom Kippur and how much not. Right? Because we're all pretty much halavai beinonim. And a beinoni, if you do tshuva by Yom Kippur, then the din comes out okay. If you don't do tshuva, even if you add a lot of mitzvahs, it doesn't help. Because for every Aveira you did, and now you didn't do tshuva, you doubled the Aveira. So it depends on tshuva. So you may enjoy doing these Aveiras. You may not really think about it too much. Right? You like speaking about people. You like gossiping or whatever. And you know that it's wrong, but you know, it's not that you know you don't care. You care, but you find 15 million different excuses or whatever. And you don't want to stop. It's really fun to do this. It's you know, enjoyable. But you realize that if you don't stop, things are going to be very, very serious. So you're forced to stop. That's one of the things, yeah?
And after Yom Kippur, you start again because that's over.
But we'll get to that. It's a good question. But hopefully not. Since a person now, what's it called, knows that he has to stop. So maybe in Elul, maybe in Rosh Hashanah, till Yom Kippur he stops. Then the other thing kicks in. And that is, just like when you get into the habit, you forget and it lose the sensitivity to it. Even if you get out of the habit a little bit, you start to gain that sensitivity again. Yes and no. If a person's really serious, he may go back to many of the things, but maybe not completely. In fact, I didn't plan to speak about this, right? But it fits in nicely over here, and really I should add it in. I saw that the Gedolim say that Lamais on Yom Kippur, you're not going to change your whole life, and you're not going to change everything. So what should you do, right, the tshuva? So there's two different drachim of what a person should really try to accomplish on Yom Kippur, right, legabi tshuva. One is, in those averas that we don't say brachas with kavana, and you know, maybe miss a bracha here and there, or miss a mitzvah here and there, or lashon hara, or things that people, you know, do keseder, right? What you should try to do is the following, one of two things. One shita is that you should try to minimize the kamus of the avera. Meaning, okay, one day a week, I'm going to make sure that I don't speak Lashon Hara, right? On Wednesdays, I don't speak Lashon Hara. Or, if that's too difficult, Wednesday mornings, I don't speak Lashon Hara. Or, if that's too difficult, the first hour of the day after davening on Wednesday, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara. So, at least, you recognize the fact that it's wrong, and at one point, you're able to control yourself and hone in not to do it. That's one shita. Another shita is, okay, I know that I'm not going to be able to control myself and not speak, but I'm not going to speak the kind of Lashon Hara that really damages somebody. So you minimize the echus of the Avera, right? I'm not going to be able, you know, what's it called, to say every bracha with tremendous kavanah or whatever, but I'm not going to, say it without even thinking about Shem Hashem or something like that. Right? So you try to minimize, you know that you're going to go back to doing this aveira, and not because you don't care, just because you know that's the metzias, right? You know it's wrong, you're not a mummer, whatever, but you know that it's going to be hard to control. But at least on Yom Kippur, on the Kabbalah, on myself, not to do it in the worst way, to try to minimize the quality of the aveira. I may end up doing this aveira again, but I'm not going to do it in the worst way you could do this aveira, only the lesser ways. That's another possibility. So that's an Eitzah Tov. I just saw this year and brought down, I don't remember now in the name of who the two shitas are, but there are two shitas, like from contemporary Gedolim. So, so if it's an Avera you're in the habit of doing, so stop, because you realize you have to stop. And then you have Charata. If it's an Avera that's out of, you did once or whatever during the year, and you probably regret it right away, so the regret comes first. What's regret of an Avera consist of? One thing is, I regret it because I feel I'm a Kofi Tova. If you really makir tova to the Rabbanu Shalom for everything he gives you, then how could I rebel against him? And not only that, but like the Tomer Dvora says, use the things that the Rabbanu Shalom gave me to rebel against him. He gave me the ability to eat and to chew and to swallow, and he gave me the food, and I'm using the food that he told me not to eat, that he made, that he gave me the power to chew against him. Tremendous kfiyas hatov. Another thing is, a person's a maimin, believes that he caused himself harm by doing these averas. So he feels bad that he caused these damage to himself, and he's going to get an onish. He's going to get a punishment for it. So he regrets that now that he's open to punishment. And another thing, a person's a little bit more intellectually inclined will feel that he acted like an animal, right? That he wasn't able to control himself, and he had to give in to his baser instincts to do these averas. If he'd really be a quality human being, he would have been able to have self-control. Person who functions without self-control is like an animal. So all of these are some of the things that can lead to charata. So what does the charata do? How does that help in the tshuva? So two ways. One way, the Sefer Mabit, the Beis Elokim, says the following. He says that we find a similar idea by Nedarim. Person made a neder, and he has charata. So the charata takes away the neder as if it never was. It takes it away retroactively. Why? Because mentally, you now regret making that neder from the beginning. So mentally, in your mind, it's as if you're going back and erasing the neder. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it that it mamash erases it, really. Same thing he says with tshuva. When you regret doing the sin, so mentally, it's like going back in time and erasing the sin. Except it's only mentally. The Rabbanu Shalom makes it happen, and the sin gets erased retroactively because of your regret. And that pretty much takes care of one aspect of the sin. Every sin, we've explained many times in great detail, every sin has two aspects to it. The Shiri Das, many others may say it also. There's the Melech idea of the sin. The Rabbanu Shalom commanded you, and you went against his command, you're a rebel. And then there's the Rofe part. God advises us that doing these sins is harmful. And if you don't listen, you're harming yourself. The sin itself harms you. You're not going to get punished from the doctor, but the doctor just advised you what the thing is going to punish you because it's harmful to you. So the Charata can take away the effect of the sin. Since you mentally are erasing that sin, going back in time as if it never happened, the Rabbanu Shalom makes it real and makes it like it never happened. So he takes away the poison. Another idea that's charata. Okay, then there's Kabbalah. The next thing is, once you regret and stop doing the sin, now you're mechuyev to be mekabel on yourself not to do it again. Kabbalah ha'asid. That pretty much is in regards to the king. You rebelled against the king. The king will forgive you if you promise to be a loyal subject in the future. So the Kabbalah La'asid is to square yourself away with the king and say, look, I rebelled in the past, but I'm accepting of myself not to do it in the future. The why do you have to do that? L'maisa, if you never ate chazer, you don't have to get up in the morning and say, I'm a kabbalah myself not to eat chazer. We were makabbalah on ourselves by Har Sinai, mushboim va'omdim me Har Sinai. We all accepted the whole Torah, so I don't have to reiterate that. But once I went against that, and I abrogated it, so I broke that bris. Now I have to makabbal that bris on myself again. So the Kabbalah La'asid is like reinstating the bris that I broke. Now, right, I was makabbal it, but I was over the Avera. So now I have to makabbal it again. There's another more simple reason, and that is, if you haven't done an Avera, there's no reason to assume that you're going to do it. So you have a Cheses Kashrus. If you didn't eat treif, who says you can eat treif today? But if you already ate treif once, the chances are that you may repeat it. So now you need something to strengthen yourself to make sure you're not going to do it again. Now you need a Kabbalah La'asid. So the Kabbalah La'asid also can't just be an empty thing. Well, I'm not going to do this again. It has to be a very strong thing. We'll see in one second how scary that is. It says, until the Ribbono Shel Olam can testify that you'll never do that Avera again. It seems to imply that if you ever do the Avera again, you didn't do tshuva. You didn't have Kabbalah La'asid. Which we'll see, that's the case, that most Averas that we do on Yom Kippur, what do we gain? In addition to that, some say that's the reason why if you look through the tefillos of Yom Kippur, there is no Kabbalah La'asid. There's Harata, there's Hakara Sachet, there's Vidui, but nowhere do we say, Vani Mekabel Al Atzmi. So there are many reasons why. One is that since the tefillos are for a tzibur, can't be masakin for a tzibur, that they should say, Ani Mekabel Al Atzmi. That's a very important individual thing, so a person has to say that. But some Mefarshim say the reason it's not there is because for most people it would be a lie. And not only wouldn't you be Mekabel Al Asid, but your mom is lying and saying you are. So it's not only when you do the Avera again are you over the Avera, it's like you're being over a Neder too, because you're Mekabel Al Asid.
And you have Harata, you don't have Harata.
What?
Saying you have Harata, you don't have
Harata. Yeah, but a lot of people can have Harata for the past, even if they don't plan to stop doing it. But I really regret it. I'd like to stop. But to say, I'm not going to do this Avera again, is mamish a lot. Right? To say I have Harata, so maybe you do have a little Harata. You don't have to do too much to have Harata for the past. But for the future is a big deal. So therefore, they didn't say it. What can we say? We do say it. We say in the end of the vidui, towards the mamish the end, Yehi ratzon milfonecha shelo ech te'od. That's the Kabbalah La'asid. It's the Lashon Tefillah. Ribbono Shel Olam, I really can't say I'm not going to do this again. But I want Siyata Dishmaya help me that I shouldn't do it again. Give me Hirurei Tshuva, give me the Chizuk, right? I really would like not to do it again. I know who I am, I know what's going to be, but Yehi ratzon shelo ech te'od. That give me with a little bit of rotzen, but derosh adam rotzen leilich molichen also help me do it. But even so, even the Kabbalah La'asid can't just be I'm the Kabbalah myself not to do it. The Kabbalah La'asid has to be something concrete. So what you have to do is try to figure out siyagim that you shouldn't do that aver again. Things that you can make fences and deterrents that won't bring you to do that aver. So that's also part, creating the siyagim. Now that idea of ad sheyoyed alav, yodeya talumos, right? So the Mefarshim explain, it doesn't mean that if you ever do the Avera again, you didn't do tshuva. It has nothing to do with the future. Because what the Ribbono Shel Olam knows for the future is irrelevant to me. And how would I know what the Ribbono Shel Olam knows in the future? So I should wait till I see if I do the Avera again. I'll know if I did tshuva. And I can't know it now, so what difference does it make? What it means is your Kabbalah La'asid has to be so strong at this moment that the Ribbono Shel Olam can be made that at this moment, if you could freeze that moment in time and you wouldn't go back and lower your level, you really wouldn't do that Avera. In other words, at this moment that you're saying it, you really mean it and you wouldn't do it again. Tomorrow you do it again. It's not because you didn't mean it. It's because you fell down again, because you're weak. But not because at the time you said it, you didn't mean it. And that the Rabbanu Shem can only know. When you said it, did you mean it? Except that if you did the Avera again, you fell down again, that's something new. Or you didn't really mean it, and the Avera you did again is because you didn't really mean it altogether. Then it's a different story. So that's Ad Sheyoyed. And we always say, so what's it called? So what does it help? Most of the time, even if we really mean it, right? Ne'ili, I'm kippur, you come, you say, you know what? I don't want to speak Lashon Hara again. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be tempted to do it. I'm not going to speak about my friend. I'm not going to speak about the Vat Hanallah. I'm not going to speak about this one or that one or whatever. This year, I'm just going to keep myself, what's it called, or the Rav, or whatever. This year, I'm going to, you know, really be careful. And you really, really mean it. And then comes Motzei Yom Kippur, and your neighbor calls you and says, you see what they did? Do you see what he did? You see what this one did or whatever? And you get into a whole discussion, and you're back the way you started, almost. So, and most of us, right, come back to, you know, maybe if you killed somebody last year, you won't kill somebody this year. You did something really, you know, out of character, serious or whatever. But the regular averas that people do, how do I know people do them, right? Besides the fact for myself, and maybe I'm different, maybe I do things and other people don't do them. But look in the Chayodim. It says a whole list of averas, lefidei hashamnus, that people do. Vaishnois, people do them. Otherwise, why would they put them in the Chayodim? Nobody does them. Right? It's only for me. They didn't write the Chayodim for me. So it must be everybody does these things. And besides that, how do I know that they repeat them every year? Because every year they give out these sheets with the Hashamnu, with all the Chatoyim, and never do I see that they're new things every year. They're the same thing every year that you had last year. So, Lechora, people go back to doing it. So what's the Toelis? So every year we add some ideas. I'm just going to say the four main ones this year. What's the Tachlis of doing this every year, if in the end, so really the Tachlis is that maybe you'll improve a little bit, like I said before. And that's something really to think about. To be makabel, that if I know I'm not going to be able not to do this at all, at least I'll try to minimize how often or how serious. That's really something that's okay. But even you go back to them. So what was the toelis of every year? So we say that the same question you can ask is why you wash a infant or a baby, right? When they're going to get dirty right away anyway. What's the tachlis? Why don't we just wait, you know, 3 years and then give the kid his first bath along with his first haircut and hopefully then he'll stay clean. So what's the tachlis of washing him every day? So he said basically a few tachlios. One is that if you don't wash him every day, the dirt will accumulate to the point where it's going to be very, very damaging and very hard to take off. So the kid's going to get sores and it's going to fester or whatever. So one tachlis is, if we didn't have a Yom Kippur every year, the averas would accumulate, and by the time our lives were over, it would be very hard to do tshuva for those averas and get rid of them. But since we do it every year, so we can't accumulate more than 1 year's worth of averas on any avera or all different kinds of averas. So at least our neshama is cleansed once a year. If we start again, okay, but we're starting again from scratch, and it can only accumulate another years of averas until we clean it again. That's one idea. Another idea why you clean a child is, if you wouldn't clean the child for 3 years, the kid would mamish be encrusted in dirt. And when you see this little thing walking around the house, you'd forget it's a kid. You'd think it's a little dirt ball walking around the house, and you would relate to it as a little piece of dirt. I got a piece of dirt with two legs that walks around my house. You wash the kid every day. Every day you discover that underneath all that dirt is a beautiful little kid. And you get to appreciate who he is. So when he gets covered with the dirt, you also appreciate that there's a kid underneath there. Because you see him every day. Same thing. If we wouldn't have a Yom Kippur every year, we would forget who we are. And we think that we're just terrible people with so many averas or whatever. Once a year, we cleanse ourselves from these averas, and you get to see who you really are. And not such a bad person. Look back, what's it called? On Yom Kippur, you see what's really underneath all of that is a really nice person. That's what a yid is. And you get to realize who you are. It gives you the incentive to want to maybe know who you are and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. Another thing is that a person, if it, you wouldn't wash this child, he'd never get to feel what it's like to be clean. And he wouldn't have any incentive to want to be clean. But if you clean him up every day and he feels, you know, ah, it's nice to feel refreshed and clean, so maybe he'll want to stay clean a little bit longer after the next bath. And the mela, as he gets older, he gets the feeling of wanting to stay cleaner longer and longer. That's a good thing. Same thing. Every year we go through this, but we get that good feeling how good it feels to be without chet. You feel good about yourself. So as you mature, right, so maybe you want to stay cleaner a little bit longer, till the Sukkot, till the Hanukkah, till whatever. So that's also a purpose. And there's another part of what's it called, of Kabbalah la'asid, tefillah. Like we said, yehi ratzon shelo echta od. It's hard to do it on your own. It's hard to commit yourself that you're not going to do it again. Right? The chances are, like I said, that you're going to go back to it. But if you mispal for siyata d'shmaya, because b'derech shodam rotza leilech molichin also, and the Gemara says it's not unusual that it's hard, because b'chol yom v'yom yitzro shalom v'mischade shalom v'mischaber alav, the Yetzirah renews itself, it gets stronger. That's why the Yetzirah is compared to a fly, because other things that bother you, if you kick them in the face, right, the cat won't come back, right? He'll find somebody else, right? The dog won't come back. But the fly, until it's gone and finished, you can swat it and hit it and wound it, and it's right back there again. That's the Yetzer Hara. It never gives up. It never stops. So it says, Yisro shalom, miskaber alav, mischade shalav, v'ilmolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ozro lo yochalo, and if without siyata d'shmaya, it's impossible to overcome it. So part of the Kabbalah loss is to recognize, I can't do it on my own. But if I really want to do it, and I really daven for siyata d'shmaya, right, then I have a chance of at least, what's it called, of being successful, partially at least, even not completely. I'm not going to be a tzaddik gomer in the coming year, halavai. But at least partially, I'm gonna fix things up, right? And it's a good feeling, right? I'm just going to be a personal, you know, not supposed to be mefarsim your chatoyim, but since this is anyway mefarsim, I'll tell you, I used to learn during Kriyas HaTorah, not during Chazoras HaShatz or whatever, I read those Parsha sheets or look into a Sefer, to the point where now looking back on it, it was ridiculous. I mean, even though I fooled myself into thinking I was listening and answering Amen or whatever, but basically it was pretty much ignoring Chazoras HaShatz or whatever. Until somebody pointed out to me, very strongly, that he held that it was not a good thing, and not only not a good thing, but since I'm up front there and everybody's watching me, I'm chotei umachti asarabim. He didn't say it in those words, he said it much more respectful, but that was the point. So a lot of years I heard that, and okay, you know, but this last year I took it to heart, and I decided that that's one thing I'm going to change this year. And in the beginning it wasn't easy. And now I wouldn't think of what's it called, looking into a sefer or whatever during Chazoras HaShatz. And Taka, you'll see Chazoras HaShatz. So you see that, you can, and I feel great about it. And now it doesn't bother me that much. And I never, and so what's it called? I'm not, you know, missing out all my ikar learning now because of that. So we find other times or whatever. And so it is shayach to make changes in things that maybe don't seem to be all that significant, but if you do it and you really keep to it and it works after a year, I don't have a reason to even look into a safe anymore. I've gotten to the habit of not doing it. I feel great. So, okay, I'm sure there's plenty of other things I could do also. But Lamaisa, similar things. Everybody has something similar. They really can. It's no big Yetzer Hara. I mean, the Yetzer Hara makes it a big Yetzer Hara to learn also at the wrong time. But that's not one of the major Yetzer Haras there are in the world, right? So it's not that hard to take care of. So everybody has something similar, and I'm telling you, you'll feel great that at least you accomplished something that you know you didn't go back to. So find that thing that's possible, and that taka is, and be makabel that this Yom Kippur, that's your Kabbalah for the year. And once you do it for a year, you're not going to go back to it. And don't make it something that's impossible or too difficult, something that's possible. Next, after all of this, you also need vidui. Vidui has a first, you have to verbally say, the Rambam says, all the things that you were makabel in your heart. I did this aveira, I'm nischaret, and I'm makabel not to do it again. And you say it between you and the Rabban Shalom. What's the purpose of the vidui? One is, it's mechazik the Kabbalah. Just like a neder. If you don't say it, it's not a neder. You have to say it. That it makes it strong. So if you say, I'm not going to do it again, so it's mechazik the Kabbalah. Secondly, it also is misgashem the charata. What do we say the charata is? That retroactively, mentally, you take away the aveira. But you have to get the poison out of your system. So the vidui spits out the poison. You, when you say the chet, you're spitting it out. The word vidui can come from yadu evenbi. They threw, cast stones at me. You're casting out the aveira. And another thing is that it's a vidui means that you know you're doing this in front of the Hashem. The tshuva has to be lifnei Hashem. The kabbalah has to be lifnei Hashem. Because otherwise maybe you don't really mean it. But if you call the Rabban Shalom as an aid, the halacha is that if I admit to somebody that I owe money, I'd have based it. Without, even if there's Edom around. But I don't say, Atem Edai. I could say, Masach HaKani. I was just joking around. I didn't really mean it. But if I tell two people, Atem Edai, and I say, I admit I owe him $100, then I can't sign anymore. I was joking around. I brought these people as Edom. I mean serious business. So too, if I don't say it out, and I don't feel that I'm talking to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, then I could say, Masach HaKani, I didn't really mean it. But if I bring the Rabbanu Shel Olam as my aid, and I say, Rabban Shalom, I'm telling you verbally, so I'm talking to you. I know you're here. And I'm telling you all these things. Then it's you can't say, Meshata Nibach or Mesachak Nibach. Then you really mean business. Another idea in Vidui is that it brings a person to Busha. One of the major components of Tshuva and the Harata is being ashamed of what you did. And the Talzer Rosh Yeshiva says that's what we say at the end of the Vidui. He says, lo shava lanu means it wasn't tsugapas for me. It wasn't befitting me. Lo shava, that's not me. I'm embarrassed. And that's why the Maral says, the Gemara says that a person who's over an aveira and is misbayish bo, is mochlo kolavo nosav. Not just for that aveira. Why? Because if you're embarrassed that you do an aveira, that means it's not you. It's not befitting you. So you separate yourself from Aveira. So in that respect, your Aveiras are not yours. They're to a certain degree separated from you. If you're not embarrassed, that's you. That's I'm accepted as something normal. But if I know this is abnormal for me, then the Aveira and me are two separate things. And that leads to a mechila on all of it. And lastly, we're looking on Rosh Hashanah for Slicha, Mechila, Kapora. Slach lonu, Mechal lonu, Kapir lonu. So I always like to explain, Slicha is what happens taking away the effect of the Aveira. In fact, I think Rav Shlomo Shvohar says Slicha and Hatzlacha have a connection. I failed, something's wrong with me, I'm sick, and I need a refuah, and I need Hatzlacha, because the sin itself damaged me. So Slach lonu, Avinu, God is like a father, like a doctor, who advises his children not to do things because they're going to be harmful for him. So that is Shlach Lanu Avinu, and that's even Chatanu. Even if you did it b'shogeg, it's still the poison's there. Mechal, Mechila, is like a circle, a mochel, a dance. Right? When you have a good relationship with somebody, it's like you're dancing with them. You have a full circle. They do their part, you do your part, you're dancing together. When you rebel against the Rabban Shem, you break the circle. You break the dance. You're not dancing anymore. Your backs are to each other. So now, Mechalon, the Rabban Shalom, return the circle. Ki Malkenu. Mechalonu Malkenu. Ki Pashonu Pesha is merit. I rebelled against you. Fix up the relationship between us. And that explains why we say in the Bracha, Birchas Kedushas Hayom, Ki Ata Solchon LeYisrael, Umachalon LeShiftei Yeshurim B'Choldor Vador, and then we say again, Melech Mochel V'Soleach Lavonoseinu. So Lechora, we said Solchan LeYisrael U'Macholan. First we mentioned Soleach and Mochel, and then twice we say Mochel and Soleach, the opposite order. Why? So I'd like to explain the ideas the following. The first thing we say is Solchan U'Macholan. Solchan Mechala means you do it all the time. Because the Gemara says, Rovets Verovravtson. Right, an animal happens to crouch down under its load, so you have to help. But if it's the kind of animal that's teva to do it, it's a ravtson, you don't have to help. So you see that rovates means it does it sometimes. Ravtson describes the nature of the animal. So if the Rabban Shem is a soleach, it means he does it. Salcha means that's his nature, he always does it. So when you talk about always doing it, the bigger chiddush is that he forgives you as a king, even though you constantly rebel. Because if the doctor is going to heal you, even if you constantly get sick, right? He may be annoyed. He probably won't even know if you pay him. He's surely not going to be annoyed, right? But he's not, what's it called? He's not going to be angry at you because you keep getting sick. That's his job. But if the king, you constantly keep rebelling and you say you're not going to do it again, you do it again, and he's going to get angry at some point and not forgive you. So the fact that the Rabban Shem is a machalon is much greater than he's a solchan. The fact that he'll forgive you as a doctor is not as big a chiddush. So lo zu af zu. Not only is he a solchan, he's even a macholah. But the fact that he could do it one time, that he forgives us one time, there the bigger chiddush is that he does it as a doctor. Because the fact that a king can forgive you, right, even earthly kings can forgive you. But the doctor can't forgive you. The doctor has to heal you. But just because you said you're sorry and you won't do it again, you're not going to get well. That's a big chiddush. That's the chiddush of tshuva. So when we talk about mochel v'soleach, there it's lo zu. Not only is he a mochel, like a regular king can be mochel, he's even a soleach, that he can forgive you and then you'll become healthy. That's already a big deal, right? But when we speak about doing it all the time, then the opposite. Not only is he a solchan, forgives you like a rofe all the time, he even is a mochelan and forgives you all the time like a melech. Okay, the Rabbeinu Bach is going to read you with a few minutes. You want to keep you here too long? People have other things to do. Rasiris and Meshuvah. The Rabbeinu Bach says like this. He says, "V'tzorech atoladas ki chol hamevin yud gimel midos v'yodeya perushon v'ikaron u'mispal bohem b'kavona." Ain't filoso choseris reikon. Tomorrow says that there's a bris krusa with yud gimel midos that ain't no choseris reikon. There's all different pshat and what that means. Doesn't necessarily mean that it has to have an effect, because it could be there are averis that are ma'akiv. The Vilna Gaon says there's no averis ma'akiv. It definitely will have an effect. Doesn't have to have a full effect, but some effect it has. And some say it has an effect. It may not help you, but it has an effect, maybe for somebody else, maybe for a different time or whatever. But there's a breeze cruise, so it's going to have an effect. Elam kenhoyu biyodov aveiro shema akvazeh. The Rabbeinu Biachu says it's possible that if there are other aveiros, it'll be ma'akev. But that doesn't mean that the yud gimel midos aren't effective. They are effective, except something's preventing it from the outside. V'hinei bizman hazeh, shanachnu shruyim begolos, ve'ein lanu lo koin godu l'chapera chatoseinu, v'lo mizbeach l'hakriv olov korbonos, V'yein beis hamikdash lispal besocho v'lo nishar lanu lifnei Hashem bilti im tfiloseinu v'yud gimel midosav. That's what's left. It takes the place of the beis hamikdash and korbanos, right, and a kohen. That's what's left is mitoch yud gimel midos elu lomadnu seder tfila u'bakashas rachli meis adon akol yisale. So mamish, this is in place of what the Beis Hamikdash accomplished, what Korbanos accomplished, that's what's left. Yud Gimel Midos. You see how important it is. Some say, so how does it work? Just by mentioning Yud Gimel Midos. Some say it's not enough just to mention them. Yaseh Seder Azeh. Meaning that when you say the Yud Gimel Midos, at least you're makabel on yourself that you're going to be Domel Hashem. You're going to be a Rachum. You're going to be a Chanum. Right? Whatever you're going to be an Erech Apayim. So either you do it. So how can you do it when you're saying Yud Gimel Midos? L'chor, you can't start doing something, but you can do it in a small way, it says. For instance, you're davening next to somebody and you're screaming in their ear, so you're not a Rachum and you're not a Chanun. So you put down the volume a little bit so you don't bother the guy next to you because you want to be a Rachum v'Chanun. That's already considered doing something. And you're makabel on yourself to learn these things and to act accordingly. That's how it works. Others hold that you don't have to do anything. You have to know what you're saying, say it b'kavana, and somehow that is ma'ora rachamim. The Vriskarov says, all the rachamim that the Rabban Shem will ever have on Klal Yisrael was already created with these Yud Gimel Midos, when the Rebbeinu Shem taught them to Moshe Rabbeinu. And every time we say them, we access some of that rachamim that was set aside. Others say it creates an Eish Ratzon. In other words, many times the Rebbeinu Shem deals with us with justice. We get what you deserve. But there are certain times that the king can say, pardon. Right? The king, the president can pardon people. It's not justice, it's pardoning. So sometimes if you see you're pardoned, you think there's no justice. You got away with something. But if you understand that the reason is because of the Rebbeinu Shem's rachamim, and it's not because this doesn't make a difference. Because the Rebbeinu Shem is such a rachman, not because you got away with something, but you were zocha to his rachmanis, and you appreciate what the Rebbeinu Shem gave, so you understand that Yud Gimel Midos, then it can work that there could be a pardon too. Because the pardon is not positive if you think you got away with something. But if you understand that you are the recipient of Rachmei Hashem, then the pardon could be very, very nice. So that is another way that Yud Gimel Midos works. So it's a good idea for a person to learn them and understand, like the Tomer Dvorah says, how you can put them into practice yourself and emulate the Rabbanu Shel Olam and be makabel on yourself when you say them to do that, and try to do it in a small way while you're saying it with the people around you. And Mirtz Hashem, saying it over and over and over again has a tremendous schus, especially it's a schus harabim too. It's something you can only do with tzibur. So it's a schus of the whole tzibur, and it creates an eitz ratzon, creates that kind of pardon, which is a very, very important thing, because as we say in the tefillah, miyiske badin, if we're really going to get what we deserve, who's going to be zoche? So Mirtz Hashem, if we understand the Shlavei HaTshuva and understand the tremendous opportunity of Yud Gimel Midos Shel Rachamim, and don't just say it by rote, but spend a little time, you have a day, 2 days, to look up that Tomer Devora and to get an idea of what it means and how you can emulate it, Mirtz Hashem, we should all be zochet to a Gemar Chasima Tov.
Amen.